If you've been coming here for any length of time, you know that quite often during the year, whether it is just a short testimony or someone taking all of what we call the preaching part of the service, we do lay a great emphasis upon testimony. And it is very important that men and women have a testimony, and it is very encouraging when people stand to tell us what the Lord has done for them. Already this year, in a couple of friends and family nights, we have had many visitors in, and people have stood here and they've spoken of their past actions. In some degree, they have told us how they lived and what they lived for. Their past actions, their past attitudes. On occasions, they will tell us that they had absolutely no time for God and for the gospel that they had heard about, but also of their past affections. And some of them will give us a glimpse into what they lived for and how they were held in sin and what it did for them. And then they will tell us of all that the Lord means to them and all that he has done for them. Remember the Apostle Paul? He went from house to house testifying of the things that the Lord had done for him and what God was continually doing for him. And I want to say to you this evening that we have a testimony tonight. And please don't get nervous. I'm not going to call upon anyone without asking you first of all. This is quite a unique testimony because the one who is the testifier is not here in the flesh. We have read the verses there in Isaiah chapter 12. And really, Isaiah here, especially in verse 2, is giving a testimony. And Isaiah is the one who has something to say to us. He says there, "Behold," at the very beginning of that verse. And the word "behold" there means, well, it does mean to see, but it means to focus upon something of great importance. If you were to look at a true diamond through a special glass, you would probably get down really close to it. And if you knew your diamonds, then you would be able to distinguish between that which is real and that which is just a fraud. That's the kind of thought that there is behind this word, "behold." He's focusing our attention upon the Lord. You see, men and women, truly born again men and women tonight, they have a living relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior himself, in John 17, in verse 3, said, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God." This salvation that we preach about and that Hannah has been singing about, it changed the prophet Isaiah. It dealt with his old attitudes. It dealt with his old habits and even his old values. And that is true testimony when there is evidence of a change. And tonight I want to look with you at what I have entitled "Every Christian's Testimony." If you're not converted tonight, or you're not sure, we want you to listen very carefully and distinguish tonight if this is your testimony or not. So we have here in verse 2, I'll read it again, it says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation." There are several things we note here that Isaiah now has as he gives his testimony. See, the old things, the old habits and attitudes and values, they are done away with, as the Bible says. All things are now become new. And it is to those new things that Isaiah draws our attention tonight. And to those new things, I want to draw your attention just for a while. The first thing that I want you to notice here, that there is a song. There is a song. If you look there, he says down near the end of verse 2, "The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song." The word "song" here is a word in the original language which simply means a burst of praise. It means a burst of praise. It's telling us that someone has a full heart, a heart that is overflowing with gratitude and joy. I know that in our Bible there are many times you will come across the word song, but the particular word that is translated song here is only translated on one other place in all of your Bible, and that is over in the book of Exodus in chapter 15, just after Moses and the children of Israel had come through the Red Sea. And this is what it says in verse 1 of Exodus 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. This, of course, singing was just after the Exodus, just after Moses and his associates had experienced redemption from Egypt and had been delivered by the high hand of the Lord. So we see here very clearly that the word song is closely linked with the thought of redemption. With the thought of redemption, even over there, in the very last book of the Bible, we have singing again. It says in chapter 5 and verse 9, or there it says, concerning those who are with the Lamb, they're now in heaven. It says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations. And thou hast made us kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Here are men and women, individuals who have a full heart. Their testimony is that at a time in their experience, God gave to them a song. Now, this song that we mentioned in Exodus chapter 15 that was associated with the crossing of the Red Sea, the Lord holds it to be of such importance that it is recorded here again in Revelation chapter 15 and verse 3 concerning the singing in heaven. It says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. That's the one we just looked at over in Exodus chapter 15. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. So we are seeing here that this song is something that the Lord gives to those who have come to him. Now that is something we ought to just take a moment and think about. Do we have this song? Do we have the song? Again, if I go back to the book of Psalms, the psalmist in the Psalm 40 says here, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Now the word song there in the original is slightly different meaning, but nonetheless it carries the thought of that which is associated with newness of life, that which is associated with deliverance. You see, you have him speaking here about need. He's in the miry clay, and that's where the sinner is. And when you're in the miry clay, you're not only stuck, but folks, you're sinking. You're sinking. And every Christian here would love to come to every unbeliever that they know and say, I love you for the Lord. And I know in many respects you might be a better person than me, but here's how it really is with you. You are stuck and you are sinking. And therefore there is great need. There's great need expressed here. But you'll notice also here, there is the nature of deliverance. It says that he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Whenever you look at the Lord bringing someone up out of an horrible pit, you think of grace. Our sister sang in her second piece tonight about grace. She's thanking the Lord that there was grace. And every Christian can thank the Lord that there is grace. And because that need was met, the nature of the meeting of that need was grace. And then there was newness. Because it says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. There's a new song here, new joy, and a great testimony. A great testimony to what God has done. And I wonder, as you listen to the message tonight, and we thank you for doing that, I wonder, can you really recall a time when the old things were done away with at all? Was there ever that time when there was a real deliverance for you, and the Lord gave to you a new song? I know tonight, all around you, there are calls. The world is full of hawkers. There's the call of the world, the calls of the flesh, the calls of the devil. All of these things are around us. But the Lord Jesus tonight, in mercy toward you, calls out to the unconverted. The call is well known. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. One of the parts of this testimony that we're looking at tonight was the song. The congregation here, the regular congregation, know that Jareth and I were in Amsterdam on Thursday. And I was really delighted, and so was Jareth, when we came to the bridge over the canal after coming out of the street that we told you about. There was smoke everywhere, all kinds of smoke and all kinds of things for sale. We took a wrong turn and we were in the wrong place. But we got onto the right track and we got over to this bridge, and there was the gospel open air. And I said to you this morning that we took a tract and it was in 5 different languages, and I read the English section of it and I couldn't fault it. A very clear, plain, straightforward gospel message. Really, really was pleased at that. But you know, the people there were singing. They were standing on the bridge, and there was thousands of people from all over the world going past them all of the time. Lots of them were getting tracts. And you know, they were singing, and while they were singing, you couldn't help but think, there are people who are singing, but they're singing because the Lord has given to them a new song. He has given to them this new song that we've been looking at tonight, that is so closely associated with redemption. It's a song of gratitude. It's a song that every true believer has. It is indeed, in many respects, the song of the soul set free. And those people, I don't know who they were, there on the bridge at Amsterdam, but I know this, that they had this song. They had this song. It's a song of gratitude for mercy. I'm not sure if I mentioned to you tonight, this morning or not, mentioned to some of the folks that when we were there in Harlem, we went to Corrie ten Boom House and got a tour around there. I have to say, the woman who was doing the tour, she didn't miss her opportunity. And there were people in with us who were from Turkey and other places. I believe they would not have been Christians. And she didn't miss her opportunity to get the message across. Very, very good at her job. But very, very courageous and faithful in what she was doing. Just like Corrie herself. But you know, Corrie made much of the fact that she received mercy from the Lord. And there was one thing I learned about her this week that I didn't know before. A number of years after she'd been released from Ravensbrück, or Brock, whatever way you pronounce it, and she was free, she'd been speaking to a lot of believers. And there's a big man come up to her after the meeting. And she recognized him, and he said to her, "Yes, it's me." He had been one of the guards. And he had been involved in all the horrendous treatment that Corrie and others had received there at the hand of the Nazis. And he said to her, he said, "I have repented of my sins. And I have asked the Lord Jesus to come into my heart and life. And I know that God has forgiven me And he turned to her and he said to her, I want to ask you, can you forgive me? Can you forgive me? Now you think about that for a moment. There was a harmless young woman treated in a horrendous way. She'd received God's mercy. But is it not right tonight that in order to say that she could forgive that man, that she needed grace? I'll tell you, you need grace to think in that way. You need grace to think in that way. And this song that the Lord gives to his people, he gives to us his mercy and he gives to us his grace. About 15 or 20 years ago, I was speaking to a man. And he said, you know, when I was young, I lived a very wild life. Nobody knew the half of it. So I was involved in all sorts of things. Shameful behavior. Disrespectful. Inconsiderate. Stealing from others who loved him was just one of the things. And there are many other things that he was involved in. And I've never forgotten what he said to me. He said, you know, Kern, he said, I couldn't live if I didn't know that the grace of God had forgiven my sin. You see, this is the assurance that the Christian has. That is why we call it the song. It's a heart that is full of joy and gratitude for God's mercy, for God's grace, and for God's peace. Some of you know, again, in the congregation here, that when I was a student in my half of my third year and all of my fourth year, I helped in Armagh congregation, mostly visiting people in homes. And there's one man I used to go down to see down there in Hockley. I'm sure Charlotte will know where it is, and others too, Hockley Home, where it is there. And I always loved going to see him. He was a true gentleman and a really nice person just to talk to. He had lived a very upright life and had been a Christian for the vast majority of his life. A good man. And I knew that his health was deteriorating. And you know, he said to me one day, he said, you know, Mr. Salt, he said, I have great peace. And he said, I know that my health is getting worse. But I also know that with the Lord's arms underneath me, I can only go down so far. And I have great peace. And again, that is why we call it the song. It's a song of gratitude for mercy, grace, and peace. And this song belongs to every Christian. This burst of praise that we read about here that comes from a full heart. And again, as we come to the end of this point tonight, we have to ask you, do you have this song? Or maybe you just know others who have it. So many people don't have it. But we want you to have it tonight. Do you have this song? Isaiah here, when he's given his testimony, he spoke about the song, but he also spoke about the strength. He says there, the Lord Jehovah is my strength. God knows just how weak I am, and how weak you are, and all about our frailty. But when we come to him, he gives us his strength. And I didn't know what our young sister is going to sing tonight. But in that second piece again, she was singing about the grace and trials and all of that. And every temptation and every trial, you and I feel we're going to crumble. But our consolation is that he is our strength. He gives us that spiritual support that we need. We could turn to a whole host of verses tonight. You can turn yourself to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and following there and over. I just read what it says in the Psalm 138 and verse 3. Psalm 138 and verse 3. It says there, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my inner soul. You see, confidences in worldly things are always liable to disappoint because they are limited. The worldly things are so limited in what they can do. Well, it says there, the Lord Jehovah is my strength. the title, of course, signifying God's eternity and his immutability. And since that strength is coming to not only Isaiah, but to every Christian, to you tonight, Christian, it can be yours as well, unsaved, if you will come. Since it is from him, it can never fail. It can never fail. Mind you, there's not much in the world today that can't fail. But this strength can never fail. And in a hostile world, a hostile environment, this is the strength of the Christian. We could preach tonight on Psalm 28, where it says there, we see here an environment which is quite like our own. And you see here that in verse 3, there are those who are deceitful to their neighbors. Let's look at verse 3. It just says, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. That's a story across so much of the world tonight. Deceitful to their neighbors. But then there are those who are dedicated to evil. It says, verse 4, and give them according to their deeds, according to the wickedness of their endeavors. We live in days, so many people say, of unparalleled evil and wickedness. Who would deny it? We know how it is in London at the present time, when the crime rate, violent crime, is going through the roof. Then it's also here, verse 5, because they regard not the Lord. These people are deceitful to their neighbors, dedicated to evil, and defiant to God. And you live in the midst of that, Christian. And part of your testimony is that God will strengthen you in the midst of that. Because the psalmist here says in verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth. And with my song, there it is again. With my song will I praise him. Actually, where it says over here in the Isaiah chapter 12 that the Lord hear about being my strength, and actually in the original, it is in the present tense. This is not something you can have, Christian, when you become a little bit more spiritual. This is yours now. This is yours now to lean upon and to claim as your own now for every Christian. So support in all circumstances. So support for your soul in life. Support for your soul in death and through eternity. Again, the question. Do you have this strength? This was part of Isaiah's testimony and part of every Christian testimony. The Lord has given us the song. He's given us the strength we need. But there's something else here. Isaiah also spoke about the solace. For he says here in verse 2 of Isaiah 12, I will trust and not be afraid. One of the very obvious, obnoxious fruits of the fall of man is fear. It is fear. And man has been fearing ever since the fall. And sometimes people, just like Adam, God comes along, as he did to Adam, with a message of mercy. And Adam ran and hid. And God comes along in 2018 to men and women with a message of mercy, a message of deliverance, a message of a redemption for them. And so often they hide. So often they had. You see, sin makes people fear that which is really their only hope. Isaiah, on reflection, knew what it was to fear. He says there in verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, though thou wast angry with me, though thou wast angry with me. And the Bible says something, and I want to say this as respectfully as I can tonight. Sometimes the Bible refers to unconverted people because of the state of their sinful heart. It refers to them as wicked. And the Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. He's angry with the wicked every day. That means that right now he's angry with unsaved people. But think about this tonight and mark it well. He holds back his wrath from you. He's angry with your sin. But he holds back his wrath from you. And fear has filled your heart perhaps all your days. But you haven't feared him in the way that you should. You feared that you might not have as much as other people, or feared perhaps wondering what lies before you in eternity, but you haven't feared the Lord. And for that reason tonight, the wrath of God really, it actually abides upon you. The Bible speaks about people who through fear of death are all their lifetime subject to bondage. I've told you before, first funeral I ever conducted was for a lady, it was 101 all but a week. Lived and died rejecting Christ. The wrath of God abided upon her. The wrath of God, Isaiah says here, that it had been abiding upon him. It says, thou wast angry with me, but then listen to this, thine anger is turned away. Thine anger is turned away. And this only happens through reconciliation with God at conversion. When men come as they are through the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in his blood, resting upon what he has accomplished on the cross, and then the fear is gone. There is no more fear. For he says here, I will trust and not be afraid. I've written something down here at the very end that I was struck with just as Hannah was singing, and it is this, and I finish with this tonight. Neutral you cannot be. Neutral you cannot be. If you have a testimony, it must be like this. It must speak of the song. If the Lord's presence, in that he will strengthen you, and of the solace that the fear is taken away. Because that is the contents of every Christian testimony. You may be able to say other things. They're of little relevance if you can't say this. I asked you the question tonight. This is the testimony of Isaiah and every Christian. Is it yours? Well, if it's not, it can be. It can be tonight. May the Lord help you to come and trust Isaiah's God this evening and embrace the Lord Jesus as he's offered to you again in the gospel tonight. We thank